This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
All right, the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in sunny downtown Alito. Well, the sun shines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in downtown Alito. Again, I don't know what my emotions are today. Experienced so much this week. Really, the past 2 weeks, a little sad, a little happy, proud, whatever. And talk about body of work. And you said 78 games, 76 games?
78.
78 games. And really a great week this week. And you hate the finality of a season coming to an end. And I thought when it was 24-24 at halftime last night, I said, well, we're going to have to go pack the equipment up. And we're heading to downtown Springfield in the Bank of Springfield Center Monday for a 6 o'clock tip. But Manuel, a tough team. And they played great defense and hit some big shots and crashed the glass and got to tip your cap to them. A quality win for Manuel. Proud of Sherrard's defensive effort last night. I thought they really hung tough. And I know as our program progresses here today, I wanted to play back. I should say we wanted to play back. I always like to get kind of the observation of schools we don't see a lot. What's your impression of us? Right, I'm speaking of us. Collectively of the local schools we cover. So, you know, within probably 5 minutes of the game, we talked to Marvin Jordan, the head coach of Peoria Manual, and then Sergio McLean, four-time state champ, one of the greatest, one of the most legendary Manual players ever there, still following the team.
It was a great fighting lion, I too,
yeah,
Sergio
right.
was. Yeah.
And wanted to get his observation of just the ambiance and the vibe of being there this week at that school because he was there Tuesday. So we'll hear that.
And last night, too.
Yeah, on the program today. And so, but to set the Sergio McLean, because I don't want to forget. So my vantage point, Ty couldn't see it last night. So Sergio McLean on Tuesday night when Manuel played Macomb, Manuel that night, their fans sat on the traditional Sherrard side. So if you're familiar with the Sherrard setup, it's the side opposite of the scorer's table, and he sat right in the middle of the front row. Well, when he got there yesterday, I'm like, well, he's sitting over there again. That's the Sherrard side tonight. But he stayed there, and there was a key point in the third quarter of the game last night where Manuel had taken what it was like a 4-point lead, maybe 3-point lead,
yeah.
Something like that, and Sherrard was playing like a kind of a trapping defense, I believe, at the time, and kind of Manuel's kind of spreading the floor and moving the ball around. And the Sherrard fans were applauding the defensive effort of their team. And so that got Sergio McLean engaged. So he gets up, and he's initially I thought he was mad at Manuel for slowing kind of the pace of the game up, but he's trying to spur the Manuel fans on across the gym where the Manuel fans are sitting. So he's getting up in the air, raising his hands. And then lo and behold, maybe the greatest Sherrard Tiger fan this year is Jansen Bender. So he's sitting on the same side, right?
They're sitting basically right by each other.
Right next to one. So he gets up And he starts doing the same thing for the Sherrard fans, you know, raising the hands, make noise. And then they're like walking back and forth on the actual sideline.
And mind you, this is while the game is being played. Like, it's a live ball and this is going on. It was, crazy.
So
there's people going nuts on both sides.
So after they do it a couple of times, they meet at basically the center stripe, and I'm like, oh man, what's going to happen here? And they hug one another. It was the most incredible. And then the reaction from the fans, I thought, was so awesome. Such a great moment last night. I loved it. But we'll hear even Sergio McLean talk about it. It's competition. You always like competing kids when you watch games. I know you're mad and you're hurt because Sherrard lost the game last night. I am too, but the beauty of competition, and like you're playing a top notch team, and I always say it's like mano a mano. That, and even though Sherrard lost last night, I love that game last night because it was two tie really good teams. And Sherrard played with Manuel last night, maybe other than about a 3-4 minute stretch that proved to be the difference.
I said this last night late in the game, but you know, there was, I think, some worry coming in, like after watching Manuel, what they were able to do, just thrash Macomb earlier in the week. And you know, last week in the regional championship game for them, they played Tremont, who was 27-5 on Tremont's home floor, and beat them by, you know, nearly 40 points. And I know Sherrard has had a great year, but so many people that I talked to were like, I mean, how can they even hang around with him? And without a shadow of a doubt last night, those Sherrard kids proved that they belonged on the floor with Manuel. And there are not very many 2A teams in the state that can say they did. You know, Macomb was great. They didn't belong on the floor with them earlier in the week. And Tremont had a great year. They did not belong on the floor with them last week. Sherrard belonged on the floor with Manuel. No doubt in my mind about it. And the thing that I love last night, and Coach Johnson said this on our post game, he's like, who would have thought ever that Sherrard and Manuel would have a game like this where Sergio McLean has to get up and will Manuel to win a game at Sherrard? I mean, that's the type of year and the type of effort that Sherrard has, is you have this like legend in the state of Illinois and that maybe the greatest program in the state's history, and they needed every ounce to beat Sherrard last night. And I think that says so much about what the Sherrard program has become and what this season was, where it took Manuel 32 minutes. Manuel, 32 minutes to beat him. And we'll hear it when we play some of the audio. But like Coach Jordan and Sergio McLean were so, so impressed with Sherrard and had so many great things to say just about the resiliency and the type of basketball that Sherrard plays. And we talked about it last night of the post game too. And I think like the emotion I have more than anything is just like, and I'm not like related to any of these kids. I don't really know them that well. I just watch them play basketball a few times a week the past, you know, 3-4 months. But I'm just so proud of them. The way they fought and battled and scratched and clawed last night. And every time it looked like Manuel was going to pull away, Sherrard, they fought back and got back into the game. And even in the fourth quarter, they get down 13, I think, and then Carton scores 5 quickly, and it's an 8-point game, and then they force a turnover and have the ball down 8, and it's like, oh my gosh, are they going to pull something crazy off? But, you know, Manuel, sometimes you just play a team that's better than you, and Manuel, they're better, and, you know, their athletes are a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, a little bit more skilled, and I think most teams in 2A will meet a similar fate. I mean, I think basically everybody before the postseason kind of sharpied in that the championship game will be Althoff and Manuel. I think that's probably what it'll be. I don't know if anybody other than Althoff will give Manuel as good of a game as Sherrard did last night, though. They gave him everything they could handle, had a lead in the third quarter, had it close in the fourth, just weren't able to pull it out.
Well, and that'd be a great game if it is Manuel and Althoff.
That's just small school basketball in Illinois, right? You know, the 2A state championship and game, Althoff versus Manuel.
In Althoff last night, they took care of Breeze Central, 56-44, 12-point differential with that Althoff Catholic win. So for me, and I think we hit on this a couple times last night, and we're also interactive today with 371-3916-309 area code. Again, 309-371-3916 or 309-582-6027. The one thing I was worried about when you get into those type of situations, you know, are you going to play scared or are you going to play overwhelmed with your opponent with the pedigree they have coming in the game? And that's one thing I noticed from the opening tip last night, that Sherrard those kids were not overwhelmed or scared. And I was really impressed last night with Ryder Veranda, hit some big shots early. I thought Carter Brown was in attack mode. Yeah. All night. And I know he was really frustrated, I think, in the third quarter where it was a turnover, but it was more of an unforced turnover.
And he was matched up with a 6'7 Division I player in Dietrich Richardson, where it's, I mean, he played basically all 32 minutes Carter did, so he played tough last night. I mean, he played tough.
Yeah, that's what I love, that Sherrard was really in attack mode. And I thought Aiden Tirana's last night was so tough. He finished with 9 points. I thought, you know, he had such a positive impact in the game. But, you know, I thought defensively, too, last night, Sherrard was so good in the half-court defense. And they made, to be quite honest, they made, I think, kind of Manuel uncomfortable a lot last night. And some of the shots that Manuel was taking, I'm like, I don't know if that's probably the shot that they wanted. But I think Sherrard forced him into some of that. Now, the other thing that, and this is why I say, you know, Ryland Carton is unequivocally a first-team All-Stater in this state, whether it's Associated Press or whether it's Illinois Basketball Coaches Association. That kid last night, I didn't realize, finished with 18 points because I didn't think he scored that much. And he, last night, I'm telling you, man, Manuel pounded that kid for 32 minutes. They were on that kid.
Everything they had at him. They threw everything they had, and they threw everybody they had, sometimes two kids at one time, and he still was able to score 18 points, where most, there are a lot of kids who will probably get some sort of All-State recognition this year that if they were defended like that, they probably wouldn't score the whole game. But he scored 18 points against that defense with that level of athleticism. And I think, really, like you touch on there, everybody for Sherrard that played minutes last night, I thought, played so tough. You know, Carton obviously had a great night again. You mentioned Carter Brown, and Aiden Taranez was awesome, and Veranda, and James Blackwell, too. And, you know, Brody Bender got a big offensive rebound early in the game that led to their first basket. You know, it's just one of those nights where I truly think Sherrard did just about everything they could to try to win the game. And I think, you know, when you look at the second half, and we talked about this pregame, what Sherrard needed to do was they needed to force Manuel to make jump shots, and they needed to force someone other than Richardson to beat him. And the biggest baskets in that game last night, Amari Breedlove, I think, had 10 points, and all 10 of them were in the second half. He hit two huge threes, a 15-footer. Each of those three baskets pushed the lead from two possessions to three possessions for Manuel. And then he had the huge dunk that kind of put the game away in the fourth quarter. And again, I mean, those are three-pointers that he hits that were pretty good looks. But you have, with what Manuel has, you have to live with one of their role players taking threes. And he hit two of them that basically were the difference to get them over the edge last night. But when you play Manuel, you can't take everything away. You have to hope at some point they just miss some open shots. And last night, every time they needed to score in the second half and every time they needed to have an answer, they did. And that's why that team is, you know, very highly regarded. They're one of the top two probably favorites to win a state championship, won their 25th sectional championship in program history, one of the, if not the most storied programs in the state's history. All that adds up, and more times than not, the Manuel Rams, when they need a basket, they're able to get it in the postseason. Last night, it was just another one of those good performances. They played in a crazy environment and were able to pull it out. A four-quarter win, though, like we touched about, it took Manuel all 32 minutes to be able to knock out Sherrard. 30 wins for the Tigers, just a unforgettable, memorable, great season that'll be remembered for a really long time.
Do you think last night, when you look back at that game, so you look at the kind of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, what do you think maybe like the key play of that game was last night?
I don't know. I think that early in the fourth, Sherrard had cut it to five. It was a six-point game, 39-33 at the end of the third. Manuel got a basket in the fourth to go up by eight. And then Carter Brown came down, hit a three right away to get it right back to five. I think at that time it was 41-36 was the score. And then that was the possession early in the fourth where Manuel brought it down, and they're up five, just kind of holding on to the ball. right, where Sherrard wasn't coming out to pressure him yet because there's still 6 minutes left in the game. And I even said on the broadcast, I'm like, let them do this because it's going to allow Sherrard to stay into the game longer. You know, so Sherrard, you know, they backed off and probably let him run about 30 seconds off the clock. Then Sherrard started to come out and guard a little bit, try to force them to run some offense. And Manuel, they probably held the ball for about a minute total, kicked it to the corner. I don't think they wanted him to shoot it, but Breedlove took the three and buried it. So they took a minute off the clock from 6:30 to 5:30 and went from up 5 to up 8. And I thought that was the possession there, because I think I even said on the broadcast, after Breedlove hit that shot, down 8 now with 5.5 left, it needed to be almost perfect the rest of the way to try to hold, to try to pull it out, and just weren't able to come back. I thought that was the biggest basket in the game, that three-pointer Breedlove hit early in the fourth to push it to back to a 8-point game.
Yeah, and for them, Manuel, I was so impressed with the matchup defensively when they put the postal weight kid on.
He's good.
On
Ryland
Carton. And I told the kid when he was leaving, I said, man, I was so impressed with how well you played defensively last night. And I thought that was the difference for them, because if Ryland Carton had a 33-point game last night or a 30-plus game last night, we may be playing Monday night, right? Yeah. I mean, just, and that's a testament to Peoria Emanuel, the way they defended last night. But I also want to take a moment and just reflect a little bit about, you know, environment and interscholastic athletics at its best this week. And I just was so impressed, and I loved the setup at Sherrard this week with them hosting the sectional and the engagement of their community and the purple and gold. And I'm glad that school pride still matters and community pride matters. So I was so impressed with all the people I saw and kind of the conversation or social media chatter all this week with a lot of people that, you know, played in big games throughout the day. So I thought it was awesome. For me, yesterday, we went over before the game. They call it the Sherrard Dad's Club, right?
Yep.
A group led by Jansen Bender. And by the way,
Kent Brown.
One of the great things about how big the game was yesterday, and I thought it was so awesome, that Nesto Hoops wanted to come to the Sherrard sectional.
Yeah,
Aaron Breton.
He texted me on Thursday and he said, hey, do you want to anywhere to go before the game? I'll be down in Sherrard around, five or so, or between 4:30 and 5. And I texted him back. I said, yeah, I said the office in Sherrard is where the Sherrard Dad's Club goes before the games. There'll be a pretty good crowd in there. And he said, all right, see you there. So we got there on 4:30, and just as all the typical, like, Sherrard parents and fans. I mean, they're just purple everywhere in that place. And Nesto walked in, and it was great. I think they were super excited to see him. And I know, like, Kent Brown and Jansen Mender were talking Nesto's ear off when he came in.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
But it was great. And we just, you know, getting to see him and getting to know Nesto has been so much fun. And I think it's always a big game. I mean, he's one of those people in the state that does such a great job where you know you're playing in a big game if he's there. And there were a lot of great sectional championship games to go to last night. He picked to come to Harry Hunt Gym at Sherrard. And he was treated to a great game and a great atmosphere. Manuel wins at 62-49. But, yeah, the Sherrard Dads Club, great, you know, pregame fun for them all season long, but especially the past couple of weeks. I mean, there's been just so much excitement and just great people to get to talk to before the game last night.
Well, and I just thought it was so hilarious when Nesto Hoops, he rolls into the office in downtown Sherrard, and it's like such an unassuming guy, but such a great dude, man.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Labor of love, because, you know, he just does that because he loves high school hoops. And then I was so excited because he initially said he was going to bring his wife, and I'm like, wait, what? His wife's coming up here?
Yeah,
and then his
wife,
because they had another situation within their family, and she couldn't make it. But yeah, so I thought it was great too. I, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on the conversation when he was at the office, and then I saw Kent Brown was, you know, had him in the corner basically talking to him nonstop. But, you know, getting back to kind of and then for me, awesome. You know, and I talked about it a little bit on the broadcast last night with the state. And by the way, we'll hear some audio from Marvin Jordan and Sergio McLean coming up from some of the comments They may, but for me, that, you know, being around here since 1990 and seeing, you know, all the games and all the teams over the years, and for me, like, what I thought was so neat for the Sherrard run this year, you know, Alex Johnson was a kid that played in that program, 6'1 post player. He was such a great kid to cover. He played with Andrew Weiler, who's a key sponsor of this station. Mike Jones was on the 2001 team, a key kid that came off the bench for them. And then, you know, Ethan Earle on that staff was a Sherrard kid, which is awesome. But then also, you know, we cover Jason Marshall when he played at Orion. He's a member of that staff. And Ridge Greenman, a kid that competed at Ridgewood. So I love that connection, those kids locally. But, you know, all of the people that we've interacted with this past couple of weeks has been so awesome because it's been such a walk down memory lane. And for me, yesterday, it was so cool for me because I called the Allman-Sherrard game in 2001. And when I got to the office, Jansen Mender said, "Hey, Travis Haynes is here." And I'm like, so Travis Haynes is one of like those legends where I saw him in 2001. And the next time I see him is 2025 in the office in Sherrard. But like the interactions, and I said it on our broadcast last night. I, you know, Jeremiah Johnston tweeted at us. He's out, I think, in Idaho, or I forget what state he's in now, involved in education. He played on the 96 super sectional team for Sherrard. Of course, the interaction with Brian Brooks and Eric Lawson on the 92 team. Eric Hutchins, so invested. We talked about Andrew Weiler, one of our sponsors. Jansen Bender, one of our sponsors. And just all of those kind of communications we had all week, I thought was so awesome. I mean, and the station being part of that legacy and remembering, you know, all of those games. And, you know, this week, and that's the other thing about the journey you make on the postseason, because let's not forget about the wonderful thing that happened Wednesday night. And we forget about it because that's the beauty and agony of the postseason journey you're on. You only get to celebrate it for so much. But how did they do it even Wednesday night? You know, 90 seconds down, six in overtime, and they come back and they win the game. But long story short, then I want to get back to the crowd, because that's the thing I'll remember the most about last night, is that was a crowd. I love the story where the Manual student bus, they're late, like 7 minutes in, they get there, and I'm like, well, how are they going to sit?
It was already capacity before their student bus got there. Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing, I love Sherrard, what they did. You know, they had their band play all week, so you can't, you know, in the postseason, if your band is going to play, they have to play all three nights of the sectional, and they decided to do that, and that adds a lot to interscholastic athletics, because it's kids involved in the student section. For Sherrard was great all week. I thought the Manual student section was electric, too, this weekend, and I love seeing the mesh point of, we don't see that part of the state maybe that often. We don't see, you know, metro schools that much in basically class 1A or 2A basketball, and that's the other great thing about, hey, kids are the same. They're competing on a basketball floor, and fans are pretty much the same, rooting for their kids, and that's the other thing that
I
loved about it.
It really was two great teams playing last night, like we talked about, and two really, I mean, class programs. I thought the way both teams carried themselves in that game was awesome. Just, you know, obviously respect for each other, and there was great sportsmanship throughout. And Manual, I mean, obviously with the history, they're just a first-class program. You know, their fans and their coaching staff and their kids are just class on the floor. And I know, like, at the end, they kind of were giving it to the Sherrard student section.
It's a Friday night
But it's
fun.
A fun. They won the game. Just, that's how it should be.
The Sherrard students were having fun doing it, and the kids from Manual. That's the way it is.
And I said this on the broadcast, too, last night. I know, like, Manual, they weren't doing anything to the Tremont students last week. You know, they do that because the team they played was really good, and they were happy to escape with the win last night. So just really fun. And to kind of go along with what you were saying, I think some of the most fun that I've had over the past couple years covering this group of, you know, Sherrard kids is they're great kids, and their families have been so fun to get to know, too. Like, you know, I've got to know, like, the Benders so well, and the Browns and the Blackwells and the Verandas and the Taranas is, you know, like, Seth Taranas Wednesday came running up and high-fived me after Carton hit that shot. And the Carton family, we got a chance to talk with Ryland's mom a little bit yesterday before
That's
the game.
Awesome.
And you know, she was telling us how DJ's been following from San Diego. He plays for the San Diego Clippers in the G League, and it was great. She was sharing some of the texts he sent her when Ryland hit the buzzer beater, and it was just great. You know, the love that DJ and Ryland have for each other is really cool. And we talked about it before the season. We did a pregame, or I should say a spotlight interview with Ryland earlier in the year, and he told the great story of DJ in the summer sometimes will come play pickup games at Sherrard. And he told a great story about one of the games. It was like 19-19 at game point, and he drove down the floor and just like threw down a crazy dunk on some kid to win the pickup game DJ did. But I did want to read, I thought this was a great comment that Ryland's mom, Jennifer, posted on the Sherrard basketball page last night after the game, because we know the story with Ryland is his first year at Sherrard was his sophomore year. And so he was a new kid, right? Yeah. And that's all, no matter what type of, you know, athlete you are, I think it's always challenging at that age to go 100%. Into a new environment. And, she said, thank you, everyone, for accepting Ryland and our family to your community. We are forever Tigers, bleeding purple, almost as much as Jansen Bender.
Yeah, and so last night was the first time I had a chance to meet her over at the office. And, you know, you always worry. It's like, hey, can I talk about some of the college basketball stuff with DJ? And I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy. I've asked you like four questions. I'm not going to ask you anymore. But to see what family's all about, because, you know, his brother DJ invested so much in, hey, look at what my you know, brother's doing. I mean, these legendary shots he made, so awesome. And then, you know, just, again, the crowd, though, to me, that was what stands out the most about this week, where it's the old adage of 6 o'clock, open the doors, run to your seats.
Yeah, that was such a great scene last night where, when we got there, we went out to get waters in the hospitality room, like, I don't know, 5:45 or so. And at that point, for a 7 o'clock tip-off, I mean, it was there are two lines to get in. They let people in the commons at Sherrard, so you don't have to stand outside. But they don't open the gym doors till 6. So there's lines, two lines at each door, one on the visiting side, one on the home side, that stretch all the way from the door to the gym all the way basically outside. I mean, that's how many people were there before 6 o'clock. And like you said, open the door, people running to get to their seats. That's what this is all about, playing in the Sweet 16 and community and buy-in. And just last night was so much fun. In the past three, four months, covering Sherrard has been so much fun because they have had such great community buy-in and turnout, no matter if they're playing, you know, for the sectional championship Friday night, on March 7th, or like, you know, they're playing at Weathersfield where they're going to beat them by 60 points in November. I mean, they get great crowds all year long. And I just am so happy they had this year, because I said this after they won last Friday over Orion. The amount of extra time and extra effort that all those guys put in, you know, especially Coach Johnson, they deserve to have a year like this with all that they do. They put in so much time, and you get a chance to see it kind of firsthand. I told the story last night on our broadcast, and we were wrapping up with Coach Johnson. But, you know, the first time that I was able to see this Sherrard 2024-25 team in person, they played a varsity scrimmage at the park in Matherville on a Sunday afternoon at like 1 o'clock in July, right? And they were like grilling hot dogs for people that would come, and there were maybe, you know, 15, 20 or so people there watching along with the little kids that they had playing. And you know, I just thought that was such a great event. And I'm so happy that it went from that, where they're going up and down the floor on the, you know, cement in the Matherville Park, to getting to play in the sectional championship game at home against Manual. I mean, just so awesome. And I remember that day, I told the story with Coach Johnson last night too. There was like a play where Caden Kelly kind of got tripped up and fell and skinned his knee on the concrete, and they had to bandage him up. So, yeah, that was just, it's been a fun year, very memorable, and I know.
Well, and then speaking of Caden Kelly quick, he came up during the post-game interview and hugged Coach Johnson shortly after the story he told about the senior bunch about, hey, I've had, you know, I've gone back and forth a little bit with that kid. He was a lot like me, but I love him, man, and I thought it was great that Caden Kelly hugged him. But so the other thing that I thought was great, and it's the one thing that the community engagement that you love, and it's hard to say because, like, the finality of the season, and I thought it was so awesome when Alex Johnson came out last night after the game, and he's walking up to the post game, right? And you see that, so the fans that are there, they notice he's coming out of the locker room, and they you know, they cheer for him. It's hard, you know, emotionally for him to gather himself, and that's one of those awesome moments. And then the kids come out and they get the applause. And I think that's the beauty of what we experienced this week. So anyway,
yeah, I thought it was great. Like you said, you know, there was such a great Shore crowd, and so many people stuck around for a long time after the game, obviously with the season ending. But like you said, kind of when the kids walked back out of the locker room, there was this great eruption of noise for just the ride that they were able to kind of take everybody on. And like you said last night, just the year they've had, I mean, I really thought somehow, some way they were going to rally in the fourth and pull off one of the craziest upsets in the history of the school and get to Springfield. Because like you said, when it was 24-24 at halftime, in my head, I was thinking, Sherrard's winning this game, and if, you know, they're able to beat Manuel, they ain't losing Monday.
Well, and their three first possessions of the third quarter that Sherrard had, I thought were pretty good possessions, where I thought, hey, it's going to be maybe come down to the final possession. The other thing I loved about the and I want to share a story about Mike Jones' father that I think is hilarious. but before I do that, I thought it was awesome. So new owner, of course, W.J. Albertson, Rusty Dunn. I know Rusty Dunn, he reached out and was asking about the matchup, because Rusty lives in Pekin, Westmer grad, so he knows about the Manual heritage, and I love, you know, the engagement there. And then WJ said, hey, let's get these hats over to these kids, and I thought it was awesome. Yeah. He gave the WRMJ hats, and the kids all put them on at the end of the
night.
They
wore them the rest of the night.
That's the best pub for the station you could ever have.
When Alex Johnson walked out
and then
last night.
But Jansen Bender took Brody's.
Yeah. But hopefully Brylan got his at least. But maybe these kids can share one hat. But, you know, it was great, too, because, like, Coach Johnson walked out with his hat on. I think Ridge had his hat on backwards when he was leaving. and I just love all those dudes, man. They just have, and they're just, like I said, first class, awesome to work with. Like, I'm sure Coach Johnson gets sick of me bugging him, like, hey, man, can you bring your stats? Or, because, like, every freaking day.
He'll say he'll miss it. He'll be missing when you're not calling him Monday for that.
I was like, you know, we have to do these pregame interviews, and he's the assistant principal of the high school, and he has to take, you know, 15 minutes every day to talk to me about, you know, this game tonight, and then, you know, copy off his stats and scan them and send them. But he just is so awesome to work with, and every coach we work with is. But I've really enjoyed the time, you know, getting to know him a little better, and all those Sherrard coaches are just awesome. Like, Coach Jones is one of my coaches in high school. And I always say to him, and
he stopped you from getting in a fight with Galva.
It just is crazy, like, that his kids are in high school now, Jackson and Javin. Because I remember they were at our games, and they were these little dudes.
They'd be running the camera next to me broadcasting the games.
So, and it's awesome, too, that, you know, he got experience this year with his kids on the team. Yeah. And, like, Jansen, how much he bleeds purple to have two kids on the team that were able to have this memorable season. I just am so happy for everybody. I know it stings a little bit, but I think the overwhelming thought last night was like, hey, we won 30 games, we won the conference, we won a regional, and it took Peoria Manual to knock us out. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to hang your head about. That's one of the best seasons in school history for sure, and I said this last night, and on top of that, there's so many memorable moments. The Ryland buzzer beater, Ryland's 45-point game against, you know, Orion in the regional championship, is 36.9 earlier in the season. The Carter Brown second half against Rock Ridge. And you know, I'm forgetting some, too. The beating Diet at Wharton Fieldhouse. Diet's into the Elite Eight after winning last night. I mean, there's so many great moments that I think when time moves on in a week or two or in a month, you can look back on and say, man, what a run we had, and how many great games and great moments there were over the past, you know, 3-4 months that I think we'll all be able to share for basically the rest of our lives. I think, I mean, I know some of those nights I'll never forget, just the how fun those were, and how memorable some of those moments that happened over the past, you know, 3-4 months with Sherrard were this year. It was great seeing everything, and I just wish we were getting ready for Monday night.
Me too, man. But you didn't mention the, and maybe you can share the story. I'm not going to forget about this Mike Jones story that I want to tell. There's two stories great from the year, including one from last night. But you didn't tell the headset story. Alex Johnson, because I know that's the other thing about post games, and I remember that with Coach Say, especially when he was at Rockridge. You know, you could tell when he was like mad because he would kind of put the, you know, headset down after a loss or a great
moment. I remember with Coach Say, before we transition to this Coach Johnson story, I remember they whenever, and it was rare they would lose, but when they would lose, he would always have his coat on and his book bag on when he was posting.
With the two straps over his shoulder, like, I'm getting out of this place. We need to practice.
Yeah. So, but Coach Johnson, he told the story last night on our post game too, and we were kind of talking about, you know, some of the great memories that happened this season for them. I skipped over the game Sherrard played against West Hancock, which was really the only game the whole season that they played really bad in. I mean, they just didn't show up early and kind of got rolled. They got back in the game, but ended up losing by 10. And the game was at Carl Sandburg College in a shootout. So where you broadcast from there, it just is a table set up on the baseline. And Sherrard, West Hancock, it was the second to last game of the day. So they have their post game, you know, talk in the locker room. Coach Johnson comes over. And he puts the headset on, and like the whole interview, he had his back to me, and he was like leaned back on the table, looking ahead at the court, just into the distance. And I mean, he was a good interview because he just, you know, it was almost like I wouldn't even finish my question yet, and he'd start answering it because like he just had so much he wanted to say. And we got done, and you know, I said thanks, man, and he said thanks, and then I went to break, and normally it's funny because he'll stick around and we'll talk for like 15, 30 seconds during the commercial. But this time he took the headset off and basically turned around for a half second, dropped it on the table, and just walked away.
And you said, we'll be back after this.
Yeah, it was so funny, man. And he didn't need to do that again the rest of the year because they responded after that and obviously kind of went on to have a great year the rest of the way. So
do you
hilarious story. Though.
Yeah, I love it. So again, I'm still going to tell this Mike Jones dad story, but I want to segue before I get to that. I thought, and maybe we can say we're a little bit impartial because my brother-in-law was one of the officials at the sectional this week, but I thought the game last night was officiated really good. I thought they let him, you know, you can say the terminology is let him play. You had to earn your points in the paint.
Yeah, I mean, for it to be a foul last night, it had to be a foul.
Yeah.
I mean, both those teams play physical, and for me, I wanted that I wanted the game to be officiated that way because I wanted every player to be able to be in the game and play. I didn't want anybody to be fouling out or getting foul trouble with like soft fouls way away from the basket. I think that, you know, when two teams like that play in a game of that magnitude, I think that, you know, and I know if it's a foul, it's a foul and you should call it, but I think that you let the game decide itself,
yeah,
right?
Especially
and,
in the paint.
And if it's a foul, it's a foul, but last night it had to be a no doubt foul. And I like that. I think that's I think both teams were probably happy with the way
they defend
too.
Yeah.
So.
And that was a crew. Colin Mix is a state tournament official. Todd Olinger, a state tournament official. Pat Lower, a state tournament official. And then I know Tori Points was in one of the crews earlier this week, a state tournament official. So I love the way the game was officiated. All right. We can get to Mike Jones's dad now.
Yeah.
So anyway, earlier in the year, I want the setup here is, I was broadcasting. Ty was at Macomb Western Holiday Tournament covering Rock Ridge. And the other thing I love about Sherrard, their holiday tournament that they have put together is a great tournament.
Three.
I mean, a top area, I think a top kind of state level tournament
now with
the small school teams that are going to come in again next year. But anyway, one of the teams in the field this year was Alleman, right? And so they had this kid that was like one of the filmers, and at tournament games, of course, there's games in front of you, games behind you. So a couple of the nights I was over there, Alleman was the game before, and there's this kid that was their filmer that had all kinds of energy, but he has all kinds of questions, and he's, you know, kind of a hyperactive kid nonstop. What's this? What's that? Yeah. How do you do this? What do you do that? And so Mike Jones was getting a bit concerned, and he told his dad, Mr. Jones was getting concerned. So he was going to kind of come over and intervene and tell the kid to leave me alone. So we were talking about this like a week or two after, and I said, hey, it was fine. I said, I just a couple of times I had to say, hey, I'm getting ready to go back on the air. I'm out of commercial break. He's like, well, that kid was talking to you the whole game. So anyway, I love that. But then last night, so it's a bananas crowd all week. And so Mr. Jones was sitting next to the broadcast vantage point.
He told me he started sitting there after that to make sure nobody could bother us. I'm like, it really isn't a big deal, but I appreciate
so,
that.
So what I loved about Mr. Jones last night, so he kind of served as our cue because you're so engaged in broadcasting the game. Ty is with producing the broadcast, doing the stats, and doing the play-by-play that sometimes you get lost or when is a sideline report. So I'd kind of wave my white program, and then Mr. Jones would like tap you on the shoulder.
he should be getting paid for last night. He was like a spotter for us. But yeah, and last night it's hard because like everyone's standing the whole game.
That's
so it's
I
like
love
I mean,
it though.
Yeah, I do too. It was great atmosphere and everything. So yeah, and the Jones family's awesome. I mean, I know they're like longtime WRMJ.
One of my favorite stories about Mike Jones, and I don't know if he'd even remember this, but he. His senior year, because he's a great football player for Pat Elder, and great player for Coach Hutton. You know, one of the glue guys you need on your team, role player. And I remember he sent me this great. I think I still have it somewhere. I gotta find it in my files. This great personal note when he was a senior in high school about the station and broadcasting games, and that meant a lot to me. And I don't know if he remembers that, but it's like that's why I'm so connected this year with this team. Like I want this team to win because. They bleed Sherrard Tiger purple and gold through and through. So
awesome. It was just such a fun year. So, and I think, too, it's really nice, and we talked about this earlier, but some people maybe if they were at the game didn't get a chance to hear kind of the really nice words that some of the Manual people got to say about Sherrard. So, first, this is Manual head coach Marvin Jordan. We talked about, you know, what their 12 losses were the teams they played. I mean, it was a who's who of programs in the state where, you know, they've only played now six 2A teams all year. They played two 2A teams the regular season. They're 6-0. Really, the only 2A team who gave them any semblance of a game was Sherrard last night. So this is what he had to say, head coach Marvin Jordan, postgame, just kind of reflecting on the type of battle Sherrard gave them last night.
Very, 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 very resilient. Very resilient. Tough team. I mean, a lot of teams will count that team out if you see them. But we've saw those guys before, as we talked about earlier. You know, I'm giving those guys the respect because I know what they have over there. Those guys, they work hard. And, you know, they show up day in and day out just like everybody else. And that's big for them to come out and compete the way they did.
Yep. Coach Jordan, that was just shortly after, you know, a hotly contested game last night. So I love those words and, you know, ultimate respect for Sherrard when the head coach from the opposing team says that. Now, do you want to get into Sergio McClain too? And this was Sergio McClain. So this was kind of during the mayhem just shortly.
They were cutting down the net and getting the plaque.
So he had just got done talking, I think, to Coach Jordan when I talked to him because he's like, when I went up to him, he's like, well, who's this guy? talk to me. But anyway, you want to set up?
It's great because, like we touched on earlier, I mean, Sergio McClain was a member of, like, maybe the most legendary run in IHSA basketball history with the Manual four state championships in a row from, 1994 to 1997. He had a great career with, you know, the Bill Self, Illinois Fighting Illini teams, too, in the late 90s and early 2000s. He's been, you know, around basketball, high-level basketball his whole life with his dad, you know, Wayne McClain, obviously being, you know, legendary Manual coach and an assistant for Illinois for a while, too. So he's seen a lot of high school basketball, a lot of collegiate basketball, been in a lot of environments, and he had, you know, really great words to say about just the competition level last night between Sherrard and Manual and just the environment that was the game last night between Sherrard and Manual. So this is Sergio McClain, Manual and Illinois great, right, talking about the Tigers and the Manual Rams last night.
Oh, man, I love the game of basketball, man. I tell people it's the only time that you can get away from reality when you step between these lines. Everything that you're dealing with outside of basketball just all goes away when you get that focus and you can just do something you love doing and have a passion for. So proud of the kids, you know, coming into an environment like this. It's a hostile environment, and, you know, it was a pivotal moment when the crowd was getting into it. And, you know, we had, just like on the court, you just got to match people's intensity.
All right, please tell me that tonight's crowd, I want to hear my son up there tonight so he can confirm this. This was just as loud as Mackey Arena or Williams Arena or any Big Ten venue. Sergio McClain, is that true?
It gets loud up in here. Most definitely. I love the environment. I love the fans. They get after it. They love their basketball here. And, you know, that's just good to see across the state of Illinois. You know, Illinois basketball has not been what we wanted it to be the last 5 or 6 years. You know what I'm saying? And it's good to come up into these small towns and seeing basketball play the right way. And you guys got some good players.
I love how he finished that. Love to come up here and see basketball played the right way. I think that is such a great compliment coming from somebody like Sergio McClain about the Sherrard program.
Yeah, he was awesome. And I know there's some more audio from him. You can listen to the archive. And he was really reflective when we talked to him because he mentioned his father passed away, Wayne McClain. He was on Coach Self's staff or Coach Weber's staff?
Yeah,
Coach
Weber.
And then I think he followed Coach Weber to K-State. But his dad, Wayne McClain, then, he was saying it's the 30th anniversary of the first state title he won. So that's why it's really special for him this year to celebrate that anniversary. So, yeah. I love it's great to hear those words, basketball being played the right way from basically one of the biggest legends of the IHSA history.
Yeah, that's great. It was fun seeing him. Jansen Bender, he said on Tuesday night, he texted me, we'll get to break and come back with a little bit more, kind of talking more about the statewide stuff that happened last night in a moment. But on Tuesday night, Jansen got there and he texted me, he said, Sergio McClain sitting in my seat in the Tiger Dome.
Go get out of there.
and it was cool too, because, and another quick story about Sergio McClain before we get to break is when we got there Tuesday night, arrived with Manuel. And when we walk in the gym, Manuel had just gotten there. So the gym is empty. We're walking in, and there's one person in the gym, and it's Sergio McClain, and he's just shooting basically jump shots by himself on the floor at Harry Hunt Gymnasium. Crazy scene. Like this legend in the state. You know, he's just at Sherrard by himself shooting jumpers. It's crazy. So yeah. I thought that was funny, too.
All right. We're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. More coming up on Sportsline.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. Just quickly checking the 1A sectional finals from last night throughout the states. Down in southern Illinois at Bridgeport, St. Anthony of Effingham beat Tuscola 56-40. Peoria Christian. Did one of our local teams play Peoria Christian this year? No.
Rockridge did in the semifinal of the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament.
And they're on to the super sectional Monday night. They won the Brimfield sectional last night, beating the Princes of Princeville 57-54 up in Chicago. It was Hope Academy over Unity Christian Academy, a relatively new school out of South Holland, 73-57. Great game last night down in Cobden. They have a new gym in the home of the Apple Knockers. Meridian trying to get back to state. Looked like a wild atmosphere at that gym last night. They beat Gorville, a very good team, 69-63.
I saw Gorville at the Riverton shootout. They were good. So yeah, that's a nice win for Meridian.
A conference clash between Leroy and Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. Leroy winning at Colfax last night, 45-41. Aurora Christian beat the Royals of Hinckley Big Rock over at Sominock, 57-54. Greenfield Northwestern is a co-op. They had a good football year out of the Western Illinois Valley Conference. Down at Whitehall last night, it was Greenfield Northwestern beating Metro East Lutheran. They're out of Edwardsville, 59-53. And the story that is getting the biggest amount of attention this weekend was at Pecatonica, where the heavy favorite to win the 1A state title got beat last night by conference rival Eastland, 36-31, who I know they beat them once, maybe twice. They pounded them twice. 1-0 at the end of one, 8-5 at halftime, 36-31. Eastland beat Pecatonica last night to move on to the super sectional. A lot of chatter on social media. We know the of course, what's it going to be? Pecatonica fans mad about you should not be able to do this. Eastland fans saying, you should be able to, it's not against the rules to take the air out of the ball. Now, I probably differ a little bit from Ty. I have no problem with it. If you're getting beat by 35 in a meeting, what are you supposed to do?
No,
how are you supposed to win? And I don't have a problem with it. I'm sorry, I don't. And still it finished 36-31, so it was 8-5 at halftime.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't see it, what the pace of the game was in the second half. It's one thing you say you're going to want to stall, but it's another thing. We know when you're playing good teams.
Yeah.
Can you hang on to the ball that long?
I go back and forth. You know, I've been in favor of a shot clock coming to high school basketball for a long time because for the fan, and Eastland won, they were able to win 36-31. But if you're telling me you go to the sectional championship game between two conference rivals, you can't wait for the environment and everything, and the first quarter a team dribbles the ball for 8 minutes and doesn't do anything. I mean, that's brutal. That's not basketball. Like, you're not playing the game. And to me, you play the game. Like, I get that you can kind of, and it is hard to be able to hold on to the ball for that long. I do get it. But you're not playing the game when you're playing that way. So I do give Eastland credit being able to do that. I don't like the style. I understand the strategy, and in a couple of years you're not going to be able to do that. And I think to Eastland's credit, if they do play up and down the floor and play normal, they probably don't win because they got hammered by Pecatonica twice in the regular season. So, I mean, it is something you can do. I get why people are mad. I also get the other side, people saying, well, if you can do it, why not do it? There are ways you can kind of manipulate the rules, like if you foul a kid who's a terrible free throw shooter over and over and over again. I mean, that's kind of a similar strategy, too.
My only defense of that, then, is, okay, how's Eastland going to win last night?
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I'm not saying 100%, like, it's ridiculous, you know, shouldn't be able to do that. I'm just saying that, like, as a fan, if you're a neutral fan and the game isn't for the neutral fans, it's for the kids playing the game. And Eastland, if you want to move on, you got to do something different to beat Pecatonica. I get that. But, like, if I would have went to that game as just somebody who wanted to watch a great game, I would leave being a kind of upset. Like, come on, really?
See, that, you and I differ on that.
Okay.
Because I think that would be such compelling game in that type of environment when you're trying to get to the Elite Eight. And say, because here's the big thing. When you have to do it, one, you're going to have to win the tip, right? Basically, and I think they probably won the tip, or maybe
they did get the ball first, yeah.
Because that's the only way, because if you get down, you can't do it. If you trail early in the game, there goes the philosophy. So the first 4 minutes of that game probably are going to determine if you can do that strategy or not. And that's why, to me, I was shocked against what I've heard about Pecatonica this year. And I haven't seen a play, but the level of players that they have, that Eastland could do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the strategy if they played a zone or they played a soft man-to-man. I don't know.
I think so. When we were eating last night after the game, you mentioned how my uncle Pat Lower was officiating. We ate with them after the game, and my cousin, he pulled up the stream on his phone of Pecatonic and Eastland, because we were talking about it. I was like, how did, because I didn't know if Pecatonic like played his own or something. And it looked like they were playing man to man, and then for like 2 minutes or so, because Eastland got the ball first, they kind of guarded him, and then in Eastland they were just kind of moving the ball around. You know, they were playing offense, they just didn't shoot it. And then Pecatonica like kind of backed off a little bit and just said, okay, we're gonna let them do it. And I'm interested too, because with the talent Pecatonica has, to me, you can't let the other team do that. You have to go out and guard them. You need to make them play, because if you play the game, you're probably going to win, because you beat them, you know, handily twice. Or if you let them basically shave 8 minutes and really 16 minutes of game time off the clock, where it's 8-5 at halftime, I mean, now it's a much smaller sample size, and the smaller the sample size, obviously the more random the results. I know, like, my math and science teachers in high school probably love me using that, but it is.
That's a Mirko education,
right,
people.
Thank you, Tracy Cook, but and Kay Huckey. But, I mean, right? It's just simple there. You can't let them shrink the time of the game, because the longer the game is, the better it is for the better team, because there's more of a chance for the talent to overtake itself. But when you're basically playing a 16-minute game, I mean, if, you know, the underdog makes three or four threes, all of a sudden, you know, your crazy season where you're already sharpened as the state champion comes to an end. I mean, on the home floor, too. Yeah. For Eastland to win that game on the road and do that is just crazy.
Well, and then I would like to see then kind of what happened in the second half, because the scoring then in the second half was 28-26. Eastland outscored him by 2 points. So the pace of the game had to change a little bit in the final 16 minutes, where I would think that had to favor Pecatonica a little bit. But again, I didn't see the final 16 minutes of the game. So to me, I just, it's shocking that they could do it for at least the 16 minutes to have a score like that, because I've been in situations where teams try to do that. Like, even like, let's talk about the example last year at Canton, where Manuel had the big lead and tried to get to the finish line against Macomb, and Manuel tried to hang on to the ball and blew an 18-point lead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, and that talent level did that. So it's easy to say you're going to stall and do this. It's another thing to execute it. I can't believe Eastland was able to execute that, because it's say, oh, we're just going to stall. I'm like, that is not easy to say. That's how you're, that's your opposition to the shot clock. This is how you have a chance to win. Again, you can say you're going to do it, but 9 times out of 10, Ty, you against an opponent like Pecatonica, right, you can't have the success. I think that's a huge outlier last night that happened, one of those crazy situations. But like you said, you're not going to be able to do it anymore. Next year will be the last year without a shot clock, and the year after that, a shot clock comes in for Illinois. My opinion is, I like the wild card of, you know, a chance to commit the upset. I just think the people that are so mad at Eastland, how are they supposed to beat them?
I'm not mad at them.
I mean, I'm talking about
I don't like that you're able to do it, but I'm not mad at Eastland for doing it. I would prefer not to be an option,
yeah,
but it is.
So I'm not talking about, social media action. I went to one of the Rockford things. It's like, well, again, yeah, what's Eastland's, what is the coach supposed to say? Let's have the same game plan we've had the two previous meetings and lose by 35 both times. And I'll be curious, because I recorded a segment with Brian Roosh yesterday. We recorded him on Friday. So he called the game last night up at Peck, between Eastland and Pecatonica. That's why I cannot wait to talk to him next week to see, tell me about the first half, tell me about the second half, how crazy. It had to be one of the craziest things for him to watch. And then just for Pecatonica, who Ty was the heavy favorite to win that thing,
and they get the sectional at home this year,
and
too,
they lose to a conference opponent who they just pinballed twice during the regular season. That had to be like, in the herd of that, and then like you say, the way to lose when they're playing that way and have to, and you're so upset because you have that opportunity.
And that's why I do give, you know, the Eastland staff credit for that. Cause like you said, you know, if you just, let's just do what we did before, it's going to be the same thing. You know, Pecatonic still has the better players and everything, but like, you have to change it up. You got to do something different to try to beat them. And again, it's not their fault. I mean, if you're upset about how they play, it's the system and the rules in place is fault. I mean, you gotta, like I said, you don't. If you're that coaching staff and those kids, you're not playing for the fans to have a fun experience. You're playing to win and keep playing on Monday. So, I credit them for that. I like I said though earlier, I would be upset if I was there watching because I'm like, come on, man, let's play basketball.
Well, that's why I wanted to watch the 32-minute game in its entirety. My observation is I watched a couple minutes last night and then just the scores because last night when I was at the game, this is what I love, like high school basketball fans who know, like, okay, you work at WMJ, so like somebody will come up to you and say, hey, I think you'd want to know this. So there was this. If you were there last night, well, so on the baseline, there where I was at, there was a guy kind of in a wheelchair, and he had a headset on. Mm-hmm. And so I walked by, and he's like, hey. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you want to know about that Eastland Pecatonica game? And I go, yeah, what about it? He goes, 1-0 at the end of one quarter, 8-5 at halftime. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he goes, yeah. And this is like an old-timer. He's like, man, crazy. And he goes something like, that's why I'm not for that shot clock.
Yeah. That's where me and that old timer differ.
Yeah. But that's a guy where I love him because I'm like, he's listening to the Eastland Pecatonica game, watching Sherrard Daniel. Nesto needs to be sitting next to him. That's a true high school basketball fan right there. That's and that's awesome. Why I love this time of the year. And I will tell everybody my favorite sport, the sport I love the most, is high school basketball, and I love that this 2 weeks of regional and sectional week, and I love the old timers that follow the game and try to tell you stories about you know, the different things. Oh, the other Mike Jones dad thing that was so great yesterday when we were at the office. He's like, hey, he goes, you got any records back in like late 1970s? He's like, I swear I'm not dreaming this. I know Jay Scheidler played at the Winona Holiday Tournament. And, you know, he didn't have blonde hair all the time. He wasn't the blonde bomber. So I got to find that out. I just think that, like, those random, people when they ask you, like, different things, I think is so awesome. I thought it was nice, Paul Flint, too. He sent an email yesterday about he's going to be listening. And then his grandson's doing the minor league hockey team in the Quad Cities. He's going back and forth between there.
So, and then just quickly, like, 2A scores from last night. Altoff beat Breeze Central 56-44. Christ the King over Montini 44-28. Really happy for Rock Falls. Coach Shanrock's a great dude. They got upset last year early in the postseason. They win a sectional, beating Princeton 49-43. So Rock Falls will play Christ the King and Sterling on Monday night. Bismarck Henning, Rossville Alvin beat Bishop McNamara 52-49. Dyett, who we saw a couple times this year, Sherrard beat them in the regular season. Dyett, though, wins the sectional. They beat Leo 44-43 up in Chicago. As we mentioned earlier, it was Williamsville beating Auburn 49-36. So Williamsville and Manuel play in Springfield on Monday. And then Tutopolis over Warrensburg, Latham in overtime, 37-35. So looking at, like, these teams that are still alive in 2A, I mean, obviously we had Manuel on the air. We had Warrensburg Latham on the air. They lost last night in the Sweet 16. Had Rock Falls on the air this year. We had Dyett on the air a couple times. We got to see Princeton play. Didn't broadcast them. They were at the Sherrard Tournament. We saw got a chance to see Williamsville. I did in person at Riverton this year. So it was just fun with the, you know, how good Rockridge and Chard were this season. We really got a chance to see some of the premier teams around the state, get them on the air this year in some big games. And I still do think that was probably Altoff and Manuel for the state title on, you know, next Saturday from today.
And I know the Williamsville-Auburn game was third meeting between the two teams, and they had split during the regular season. They played in the Sagamo Conference title game, I know, I think around the holiday time or somewhere around there. And then they played like, the rematch was February 21st and then played again last night. So, and Williamsville was a state tournament team last year. So it'll be interesting to see that matchup. It's a 6 o'clock tip at the Bank of Springfield Center Monday night. Now, Rock Falls, who do they feed into? What sectional winner do they play?
Christ the King.
So they play Christ, and that's at NIU then?
Is no, that Sterling.
That's, oh, they play at Homer Musgrove Fieldhouse. And then I wonder, too, you know, we spoke about this during the football season. You know, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin had a great football season. They were undefeated. They were one of the top seeds in football, and they've been kind of ranked all year in 2A basketball. I wonder, you know, if there's a lot of multi-sport athletes on the team. They were number five in the final.
They've lost one game all year.
Did they?
So the super sectional games in 2A down at SIU in Carbondale on the John Hoshite court.
That's right.
Altoff against Tutopolis. Diet against Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin. That's at Joliet Central High School, the Bank of Springfield Center. Unfortunately, it's Manuel against Williamsville. And then at Homer Musgrove Fieldhouse at Sterling, it's Christ the King against Rock Falls. I think it's interesting, though, looking at that SIU game. So if you look at Altoff, their postseason run, you know, they've beat Pinckneyville. Last night, they beat Breeze Central, and they got to try to beat Tutopolis Monday night. I mean, those are like three storied public school programs down in that part of the state. And then a part of their sectional, which they didn't play because they lost, was Benton, who was in their way, too. So I know they're starting to pick up some of the chatter of people upset about them being in 2A, but I think they're probably a pretty heavy favorite against Tutopolis. And like I said a couple times already today, I'm saying it's all tough against Manuel for the state title, and that would be an epic game, I think, in Champaign, hopefully, on Saturday. By the way, next Saturday, Sports Sign will be live from State Farm Center again. That was fun last year.
We'll get Nesto on and Matt Troha, and we'll have all kinds of fun.
Yeah, 9 to 10 or so next Saturday at State Farm Center from the state launch. It'll be a lot of fun. I love doing that. It's a good time.
So you mentioned, though, the teams that aren't standing, though, going into the super sectional. You mentioned Pinckneyville. They were a number two in the final AP poll. Benton, three. They're at Breeze Central, four, lost last night to Altoff. So of the ranked teams, whatever that means, Altoff Catholic is still in, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin still in, Williamsville still in, Manuel still in. The ranked teams that have been eliminated again, Pinckneyville, Benton, Breeze Central, Auburn, Sherrard, and West Hancock of the final rankings in 2A.
And then I think next week is when they release the All-State teams, should have a few local kids. I mean, I think Ryland, Carton, Landon, Bull, both potential to be first-team All-Staters. I think Kyler Owens has a chance to get All-State recognition.
Oh, 100%. I think definitely Ryland, Carton, and Landon Bull will be Illinois Basketball Coaches Association first-team All-Staters because I think there's more. I think they have 10 or 15 members.
I think it's 10.
Is that what it is? Yeah. And then I think it's just five for the AP. But I think they're both body of work, legitimate first-team All-Staters. And you know, you've seen most of the elite teams from throughout the state in 2A. And they match up with any of the best players in the state.
Most nights, and Sherrard played a tough schedule, the best player on the floor was 23 wearing either white or purple. So he's a first-team All-Stater. There are not five better 2A players in the state than Ryland Carton. No way.
Yeah, well, I'm intrigued by the super sectional matchups Monday, you know, following that, and just the state tournament then next weekend. And I still love that. You know, I still have issue with, but I don't know what the answer is with the schedules on Thursday and Friday. But you can't go away from the Saturday schedule of having all four state title games on Saturday. I love that if you're a basketball fan and love that.
It's great.
It's worth the trip to go to State Farm Center to see that.
Absolutely. So what do you and Brian Roosh talk about? The rest of our show, we're going to get to the Jim and Brian segment. Then we'll come back and kind of do one more wrap-up on the Sherrard season. Have some nice comments from Alex Johnson from last night. We'll play at the conclusion of the show. So
the National Federation of State High School Associations this week released a video from Carissa Niehoff, and I edited it into the piece, where they're really concerned about these transfer rules that are starting to become what they think will be an issue, where 10 state associations are basically allowing transfer during the school year without any questions. And then there's four state associations that are potentially talking about, our four states talking about unlimited transfers for a student athlete throughout their high school career. So she talks about that. It's a 2-minute piece with her, and then we have a little reaction to that. So that's coming up. So it is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
On Saturday, March 22nd, Bid for Bargains returns with amazing discounts.
Discounts? What are those?
Pardon me?
I love to pay extra.
Okay, what about you, ma'am? Do you like to save money?
I enjoy the thrill of empty wallet. Saving money isn't my thing.
You could be saving 30, 40, 50% off restaurants and other local businesses, the places you go.
I embrace the paycheck to paycheck life.
Then Bid for Bargains isn't for you, but it is for you. Bid for Bargains, March 22nd. 9 to noon on Farm Country, 102.3.
This is Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio, and we get help today from National Federation of State High School Association CEO, Carissa Niehoff.
I'm Carissa Niehoff, CEO of the NFHS, the national leader and advocate for high school sports and performing arts. Last month, leaders from many of our member state associations were in Indianapolis to help the NFHS formulate its strategic priorities for the next 4 years. Among the most discussed issues were the threats to state association regulations, in particular, eligibility rules regarding transfers. In fact, due to legislative mandates or undue external pressure, 10 member state associations are now allowing at least one transfer from school to school with immediate eligibility. And legislation is pending in at least 4 other states. There is a push in a few states for unlimited transfers during a student's high school career. It is important to note that while states have enacted changes to transfer policies, this is not necessarily the choice of the member schools in those states. Why? Because when eligibility rules are compromised or not followed, disruptions in the educational process occur. Administrators, teachers, and coaches, and those in state association offices are the most knowledgeable and experienced regarding the development of programs and protections for education-based athletics. Our kids are student athletes. Our high schools are places for students to learn, to become part of a community, and to have highly trained adults support their growth over time. When eligibility rules are not followed, a student's experience is disrupted. If a student transfers, academic continuity can be broken, possibly leading to achievement gaps. Relationships with teachers, coaches, and friends might suffer and or end completely. Families are affected, and an undue burden can be placed on the teachers, coaches, and student athletes in both the sending and receiving schools. Our schools and state associations should be supported in their efforts to establish bylaws and regulations that work best for their member schools and the student athletes that enjoy the high school experience.
Well, we let Dr. Carissa Niehoff join Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Again, that piece was edited for the National Federation of State High School Associations website. You can find that at nfhs.org. But I know we briefly talked about this, I think, last school year when, you know, these trickle-down impacts from maybe collegiate athletics, where we hear all the time, Brian, about the transfer portal. But I'm just going to quote this again, what Dr. Niehoff said, again, CEO of the National Federation of State High School Associations. 10 state associations are now allowing at least one transfer from school to school with immediate eligibility. And there's a push in a few states for unlimited transfers during a student's high school career. Is that concerning or alarming for Brian Roush?
It sure is. And I know, you know, the perspective she was looking at was they were talking about the educational process and all good points that we just heard there. But I also think about competitive balance and some things that maybe, you know, you and I think about because of our local schools, you know, that you can take these schools that have great youth programs and have, you know, a great group come through, and then other schools can assemble a team and compete with them. It just doesn't seem fair, and I think competitive balance is just as important as the educational process in my mind.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, the old adage of the rich get richer. Well, if it's, you know, allowing just basically, you know, one transfer in a school year, that, you know, I think that is somewhat of a concern, because who's not going to want to play, you know, at a better program? And then how do those programs that haven't had near the excess, how do they get traction? But, man, I just can't believe where, you know, a few states talking about unlimited transfers during a student's high school career. What do you think that would do just at the administration level? How crazy that would be?
Oh, yeah, that would be crazy. And as you say, I mean, it just brings a whole lot of headache to a whole lot of people. But as we look at it too, it's like, how does that, you know, function from team to team? I would just think the disruptions would be incredible. And what happens to those kids in regardless of the sport, I mean, that have been there, and suddenly this, you know, boy or girl transfers in and they're very good, and you lose your starting spot or maybe your playing time or whatever. I just see it being so disruptive.
Well, and I think some of the, you know, reaction I've heard is, do you want interscholastic athletics to result in basically club or AAU, where some kids will just go from team to team? I hope that doesn't happen, but that's why I wanted to share this on our segment today, because this is a conversation point where you're seeing, you know, more and more of this at the high school level, because I say, don't you think, you know, it's a true trickle down of what's going on collegiately with this transfer portal, and you knew sooner than later that this was going to be an issue at the high school level, right?
Absolutely, and I think it does, you know, it does kind of mimic it, and it's, you know, the college level of the college transfer portal right now is kind of the blueprint, and now suddenly you're going to have high school kids trying to do the same thing, and I just feel bad for some of the schools, maybe more so in metro areas, where if this goes through, it'll be like you'll be a feeder system. If you have a kid that, you know, breaks out and has a good season, and, you know, those recruiters now will be out there looking for him and say, come to our school. We've had better success. We have better coaches. We have better facilities. And then suddenly it's like that educational process gets pushed to the background, and they just kind of become, you know, what, commodities, I guess, these athletes.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, much respect for, you know, the state associations like the IHSA that are having to deal with this issue being debated in many parts of the country. But again, wanted to share this piece from the National Federation of State High School Associations, something to keep on top of as we move along. He's Brian Roush, at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29,
but I'm here. Hi, I'm Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Wait a minute. Seed manager Brian Brooks. I thought there was the only Brian Brooks. Is he related to the 1992 legend Brian Brooks? Same guy or not? No, you never see Brian Brooks seed manager and Brian Brooks 1992 Tiger in the same place at the same time, like Superman, I guess, and Clark Kent, as they say. Good to have our great local sponsors, you know, during our broadcast all year, during Sportsline, of course, Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. That's the other great connection that we have. It's an equation that makes all of this work, and we're going to get into that a little bit with Coach Johnson. I thought his nice words about what local radio represents, and being called a unicorn is one of the greatest compliments that you can ever have when they talk about local radio. So that's kind of my setup, and you can elaborate a little bit more again.
No, we just thank Coach Johnson for his help all year, you know, at the end of the night last night. And he said some really nice things about the station and our coverage, so we wanted to play that for everybody because we like to, you know, build up our ego a little bit, I guess.
You guys probably don't realize how great of a job that you guys do covering small school sports. And you guys are like a unicorn anymore, and that there is nothing like this in the areas. You know, I mean, some people cover and stuff like that, but you guys are going beyond what that is, and you guys keep getting better doing it. I just should say getting better, but you guys keep doing...
we got a lot to work on.
You keep doing more. You keep doing more to make it better for the people, to make it more memorable. You don't know how many people tell me that after the game, they go home and they listen to the game, you know? That's just what they do. And the experience that these kids have, I know we talk about everybody else, the Joe Verandas and so forth, you guys are just as much a part of it, and I thank you for that.
All right. That's awesome to hear something like that. And I thought about that last night when he was saying those words. I can't help but think about John Hoshite. That's the reason that this is the boilerplate of how this station has always operated. And, you know, it will, and with new ownership, that's the way it's going to operate. And, again, we talk about being vested in the community, and that's how local radio works. And, You love being affirmed with what the mission is, I guess. Now, I will say, you know, in traveling this business, I love because we can talk about, and I know what, you know, the YouTube has become and NFHS, I know that, and it's important for people that can't travel. But I will always argue that the legacy of your season means a little bit more if there's a local radio station that is truly vested into your schools, your kids, your coaches, your communities. And ever since I've been here, and I'm not saying it's because of me, I'm saying because this station is committed to that. And being a soundtrack for a lot of these memories since this station signed on in 1979 is a true testimonial. And I, you know, it's so awesome when you hear something like that from Alex Johnson. I know just, you know, what it meant in 2001 for a lot of those kids to still have the broadcast of the Sherrard-Alleman game is, you know, that's a big scrapbook for them. And I thought about this year too. I remember I was interviewing Landon Wheatley at Macomb when the finality of the season wrapped up for Rock Ridge. And I thought one of the true greatest testimonies you can have, he says, well, I can still listen to these great games we play through WRMJ. And that, you can talk about whatever you want or whatever recognition you get. When you hear, those mean more than awards. When you, the testimonies from Alex Johnson, Landon Wheatley, the families that, and this is the greatest thing that I think, and it's a testimony to the work that you've done here. When you hear Kent Brown and Jansen Bender and those families say, hey, here's my routine. Game over, drive home, listen to the game. Right? I mean, that is
awesome.
I'm going to sit around in the garage, listen to the game. And I think about, you know, even like for me, so Pat Lower officiated last night, my brother-in-law. And I think about like my late father-in-law who passed away. And how he would listen ad nauseum to these worn out cassette tapes. You know, yeah. This is before digital technology where he'd be out doing chores and he'd fall asleep in his truck cab and like his brother would, have to wake him up and like, hey man, your father-in-law he fell asleep, doing chores or whatever, but he was listening to some WRMJ game that was blaring on
the Farmington.
But I mean, just like, and there's so many of those type of stories, and that means the most, the legacy for the station to me, and a lot of that belongs to John Hoshai because he started the great moments early in the station's heritage were games that he called at a high level, and it has continued on. Those are great, hearing those type of testimonials about what local radio means.
Yeah, those words are really nice from Coach Johnson, and they mean, you know, a lot more than probably he understands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like I said earlier, it's been great to work with him, and just the most fun part about doing this is getting to know people, you know, and like, I mean, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't really know Alex Johnson at all other than that he coached against me when I played in school, and he helped out at our basketball camp sometimes with Coach Hutton when I was in school. That's what I would know about it. Yeah, so, I wouldn't know Ridge Greenman very well, or Jason Marshall, or Ethan Earle, or Coach Jones, or any of those families, the Benders, the Browns, all of them that I mentioned earlier, the Cartons, the Blackwells, the Verandas down the line, the Taranas is... You know, just a
fourth grade, Mr. Seth Taranis, fourth grade youth basketball coach.
Just an awesome, awesome bunch of people over there. It was so much fun from November to, you know, early March. You want to get to playing into March, and the Tigers got all the way to March 7th. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be upset about. It was a great season, the best season for the Tigers in, 29 years at least, right?
Did you tell a story on the air about Jansen Bender and you, your connection to 2001. Have you ever told that story?
Yeah, I did on the... I haven't ever seen the picture, but there's a picture of me, right, when I was like...
You were at the 2001 Alleman Sherrard game.
I was 2 years old at the time, and I believe there was a picture somewhere of Jansen Bender post-Sherrard upset.
Yeah, mayhem. It was in the course of the mayhem.
And he's holding me, right?
Yes.
And there's a picture of me with him.
Yeah.
I wanted to
recreate that this year in the postseason.
Where is... I wonder if anyone has
it's
that
It's got
to
be around somewhere.
Yeah. We got to try to find that, maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know what else you can say about the year and what it was and being involved in it is... And like I said, that, you know, I'm sure a lot of those parents... And a lot of those kids are listening back to, Wednesday night's game already, but I would even say listen back to last night's game. That was such a great high school basketball game. You fall short, but and I know it stings, but I hope eventually those kids can come back and appreciate and say, man, can you believe we went toe-to-toe with Manuel and that team? And then
For me, it's just look at the pictures, look at the video, and listen to the sound of the crowd.
That's
in that
the
game.
Thing I'll remember.
Like those couple of threes that Ryder Miranda hit in the first half that I think gave Sherrard the lead both times. Just awesome. I mean, just like it was shaking like the bleachers. I mean, it was, you know, Wednesday we talked about it, but really last night I've never seen an environment like that. I mean, the only thing I can think of is like that Rock Ridge Princeton game over at Geneseo a couple of years ago, but I think like last night was probably even a little bit higher than that in terms of just the volume and the.
Well, yeah, because the Princeton Rock Ridge game was like, what was it, like 14-0 in that Rock Ridge Princeton game? I mean, it was a highly anticipated game that did not live up to the hype, that's for sure.
No, but yeah, last night that was a lot of fun. I mean, that's like I said, just the memory of seeing all the purple and gold and then the kind of little half of the visiting bleachers with that classic orange and black Manual stuff. That was just such a cool visual. And there wasn't a seat to be had, like I said earlier, it was probably higher than capacity, to be honest with you. So, because they had to squeeze in the Manual students who got there late.
Well, and I didn't hear, because it was so noisy, one of the classic, like, PA announcements was, you know, I'm paraphrasing something about, because Eric Hutchins does a great job on the PA, and he's like, hey, I know, you know, the stands are packed, but the manual student bus has arrived, and we have to make room for them.
Yes. It was like in the middle of the first quarter. Yeah. It was like during a dead ball.
And there was no seats to be had at that time.
And then so they come walking in, But it, like you said, it's just so funny that bus – I wonder what they're thinking. They're like, the game started already. They're still, where are we even going?
Here we are, County Road NN. Yeah. And I guess there is a, I think you're turning the wrong way. No, there's a wind turbine. Oh, that is the school
there.
Yeah,
the school.
So anyway, a great season, great broadcast coverage, and our spring sports will begin probably in a couple weeks. It looks like a nice enough day to play a game outside today, man.
Pretty soon. We'll be turning the page to that very quickly. Again, we'll be Sportsline next week. We'll be live from the IHSA Boys Basketball State Finals down in Champaign at State Farm Center. That'll be a lot of fun next week. Looking forward to that.
Yeah,
bad. Wish the Tigers were playing down there, though.
Yeah, and we'll be able to line up a lot of rando guests probably that are down there for the state, because the schedule's a little bit different. It's the 4A
third place game probably going on during the show.
It's always just a fun vibe down there, and if you haven't been since they moved it back to Champaign and you like high school hoops, head down there, and it was nice to see a lot of different people like that went to the game. Like last night, like, you know, you talk about the thrill of competition. Saw Colin Schweigen, the quarterback from Rock Ridge. He was there getting ready for the baseball season. Nice to see Jordan Harris. Mm-hmm. He was there watching the game. I saw Coach Delp from Augie. I'm assuming they were recruiting Ryland Carton. He was at the game, I know, Wednesday night. So just seeing a lot of those type of people at the game, too, because, like, Jordan Delp at Augie, he lived the IHSA postseason when he played at Mount Carroll and they went to state. He knows like what those crowds are and playing in that environment.
Yep. It was great. I mean, it was like kind of the epicenter of basketball this week with all the people that came to Harry Hunt Gym. And like you said, kind of off the top of the show, awesome job hosting by Sherrard, Lisa Emmendorfer, the AD, and just down the line, their administration team.
Tim Warnington, Carl Johnson.
Everybody there every night, and it was just first class. So well
Manny's
done.
Pizza.
Well done hosting, yep.
That was Tuesday night.
Sean Harkey, great sponsor.
Where is pizza from? I'm like, Benny's, man.
And the Manual people and the McComb people loved it.
So. All right. Well, anything else?
No, man. Just thanks to the Tigers for a fun year, man. That's all I got to say.
Great, great basketball year this year, and looking forward to a spring sports season here in a couple of weeks. And again, we'll be in at the State Farm Center next Saturday morning, broadcasting live from America's original March Madness. Thanks to everyone listening. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios, that'll do it for Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.